Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is 25 to 12, and welcome back to our guest, Brother Idris Khamisa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My most beloved Maulana, I don't know for you, this half an hour we didn't speak to each other. Did it pain you as it pained me, Maulana?
Yes, it is. I was pining to hear your voice. And when you didn't come on in the starting, I was worried what happened to you.
No, I said no, inshallah. I said whatever it is, I'll be true to you, Maulana. Don't worry about it.
Alhamdulillah, shukr. How are you keeping this morning, Idris, right?
Alhamdulillah, what can I say? I'm here in this beautiful place, Roshni, and we're doing a program on creativity, how parents can develop creativity in the children, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, shukr. That sounds interesting. The topic that you wanted to speak about today, maybe you can just tell us a little bit about your workshop, and then we can go on to that topic, inshallah.
Yeah, you see, one of the things that we do not speak enough about and is the fact that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a very, very creative prophet. And there is this erroneous notion that creativity is only about the arts and drama. That you find that our schools, many of them, and Allah bless them, I'm not here to chastise them or whatever, they tend to be focusing too much on textbook knowledge. And you find that 3 months after the matric examinations, people forget 70% of what they have learned. So the critical thing is this: if you develop creativity, it's a lifelong skill, and creativity essentially can be defined as having original ideas, and it's about looking for solutions, and it's about saying that I can do something. But we do not speak enough about our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of his own creativity, and I say he was the most creative prophet. Then I shared with them some of the things that the parents can do at home. And I said one of the things is this, that children are naturally very curious little ones, right? They always ask you why. They want to stand on their toes. They want to peer and do almost impossible things. And it's their nature. And Allah has put that in their heart. And I was sharing with them a statistic that children between the ages of 3 and 5, 95% tested in a 1,000 of those kids as creative geniuses. But as they went into the high school, the percentage towards the matric year went down to 16%. So it's quite clear that the homes and especially the schools are killing this creativity. And therefore you find there's rote learning in Islam. And even Islamic studies can be taught in a creative way. I shared this example of a sister that I know, I didn't share with them, but they are here, they can listen to it. Sister Amira Al-Saraf in Los Angeles, and I've been to the school. Can you imagine this question she asked about the Battle of Badr? And I think we might have shared this with our listeners. It was that imagine you were a witness at the Battle of Badr. What did you see? What a powerful, powerful question. So I think it's important that we promote creativity. So the idea is encouraging curiosity. The second idea is to have conversations with children, asking them their opinion. It's about them looking at the media critically, and it's about many, many things that we need to do in our homes, and one can go on, but just as the time being, I thought I'll just give you some idea of what we are discussing, you know.
Okay, alhamdulillah, shukr. And then the question that we were going to speak about today is the fact that lots of girls fall in love with someone and marry someone else just to please their parents. But this marriage then doesn't last that long. They divorce in a short period of time and they go back to marrying who they loved and their choice. Now, why is that and why does this happen in our society?
Maulana, I only like to discuss things that I'm exposed to. It's not from theory and books, and I like to be as pragmatic and practical as possible. You know, you find nowadays, and it's growing numbers, therefore I'm sharing this, is that You know, gone are the days, in most instances, where parents can impose their choice of a boy to the girl. And many of them make their own decisions, and you only come to know about it after they get the proposals, they refuse the proposal. Then the girl would suddenly say, you know, Papa and Daddy, I'm speaking to someone. Then the father said, who are you speaking to? The father, mother get upset, they did not know about it. And then what happens? Then the girl knows the father and mother are very, very upset. Then she says, okay, Daddy, I'll get married to this person. But on one condition, if I'm unhappy, I will call the marriage off. So what the fathers and mothers are doing, they say yes, and they hope that the marriage does work out. And then what happens? The girl comes back, and sometimes, she might exaggerate what has happened, right? And because I came across a case yesterday, then I came across the case a few months ago, and I came across the case before that. And what happens is this, that she'll come back home, and she'll say, no, I'm not prepared to go for any counseling. And she would might be exaggerate what has happened, and they call it off, right? They don't even meet the other friend, they call it off. And then suddenly what happens, you hear that the boy that she's going out with in school or wherever else, the university, she's marrying him. And I came across some very, very, crazy cases. Now, what my concern is that there are so many families implicated in all of this. So now, you know, I like to be solution-driven. So one of the things that I want to encourage parents, you know, that you must tell your kids, young people growing up, and, you know, all of us were young, and not that I speak as if I'm a paragon of virtue, whatever. I'm saying that you have an understanding with your children. If they are inclined towards anyone, before they get emotionally entangled with the person, share it with us, and we take it step by step. And you've got to make premarital counseling a mandatory part of it. All right? The other important aspect that is also very, very critical is this, that, you know, as parents, what we need to do is we've got to make sure that our children, they themselves, understand the decision they make. Because, you know what, lots of people tell me, no, I'm in love. Maulana, I'm in love.
Love.
You know the story, right? I'm in love. Yeah. And let me tell you, they're not in love, Maulana, they're infatuated. And infatuation is far more compelling and intense than love. You know, people are infatuated, you know, they pull their hair, you know, I cannot do without him and whatnot, you know. But love is not that. Love grows. You know, you heard the song, Love Grows with Something, right? I was not a singer, I got kicked out of the school choir, by the way. I wanted a free ticket for the concert, I got kicked out. Now, so the whole idea that we need to understand it, you know, and I tell people, I say, sister, you're not in love, you are infatuated. You know? And so I think we need to understand that what I'm saying, as parents, we need to have conversations at an appropriate age with our children. Get to know them. Talk to them. Because you know what? The way marriages are breaking off today, like, is no man's business, really. It's no man's business. You know, Maulana, I'll tell you something on a personal note, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I go for weddings, unbeknown to lots of people,
yeah,
I cry at weddings. You know that, Maulana? I cry at weddings because I deal as other people deal with issues. I say, Ya Allah, make this marriage work, Ya Allah. Make this marriage work, Ya Allah. Make this marriage work. So I'm very concerned about that, and I think let us discuss this particular area. And we'd like people to phone in and whatnot, and many people may be reluctant to phone in regarding this particular issue. And as I'm speaking, there are so many cases that I've come across, and may Allah protect our children, may Allah make it easy for the parents of these children, inshallah.
Inshallah, Aziz. Yes, great issue, a great problem. We've seen it. I've been exposed to it as well myself.
Devya, Devya.
Protect all marriages. Well, and Ibrahim Daya is with us as well Maulana, perhaps you would like to come in here.
Yes, as it is, by said, you can interact with us. The number to dial is 011-854-1548, or you can even WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. It is by, you mentioned the point of parents speaking with their children and... Parents speaking with their children and taking it forward from there. But how do we seem to have lost the line with Idris Bhai? So while our engineer just tries to get him back on the line, Marjanaid, the point that Idris Bhai. We do have Idris Bhai back on the line. And Idris Bhai, we were discussing and we were saying that. When it comes to the situation where the parents need to talk to the children and be open about this, but you'll find that many children, they sort of hang back or they close up. So how does a parent go about building this relationship with the child so that he may open up on this? Idris Bhai, are you with us?
Maulana, I'm on the line, alhamdulillah.
While just speaking on this point here, as we try to get back with Idris Bhai, how is it that the children or the parents need to build this relationship and, you know, sort of take it forward? Because you'll find children sort of, you know, close up and they don't want to speak to the parents about these situations.
Yes, children perhaps have, sometimes when parents have a very strict approach to upbringing of their children, they close the doors of communication with the children. So they may think that the children speak to them about everything, but unfortunately the children would rather hide things away and keep things bottled up than come out and speak to them about it, and that is where the problem then comes in.
Okay. Yes, Marjane, we do have Idris Bhai back on the line. Sorry, apologies for that, the line had dropped. Idris Bhai, we're discussing, and we just asked Marjane, but maybe you can give us also your opinion on this, is that... how do you build that relationship where then the child becomes comfortable to speak to the parent about these situations, or even if there is some sort of problem, then the child will come forward to the parent?
You know what? We must not be oblivious. We are living in a time where there is so much of information explosion that our kids, you know, are aware of so many things, but they don't understand the moral dimension of these things. So what is important as a father, as a mother, the father speaks to the son, and as our parents did, you know, and Allah blessed them all. They were, you know, I recall when I used to be in the shop, and I say it, you know, out of modesty, not that I'm excited about it, my father saw that I had a tendency of serving female clients, you know, more often than male clients. And so he called me to the side. He said, "Idris, man, I see you serving the lady's shoes. You're making aware how many pairs of shoes, you know." So as parents, you got to be observant. You got to encourage them, and you got to speak to them about these issues. Because in the end, as a parent, what is your role? Your role is to make sure you empower your children, that you make him into a gentleman, so he understands social etiquette. He knows the whole issue of marriage. You need to speak generally and specifically about it. And your children must not get intimidated by you. They must respect you. They must love you for the sake of Allah. If they fear you, they're going to do things behind your back. In front of you, they're going to be obedient and whatnot. Then you find outside, you hear they're doing all kinds of things, and you say, "No, never my son. Never my son." And you protect them, you know. So I think it's important to start having conversations regarding that, and to become vigilant and observe them. You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have to have that pulse on it, or the finger on the pulse, rather. It is where you were speaking just before we got cut off. You were speaking about the issue of how these situations unfold and parents become difficult, children then decide that they want to marry the person that they want, and it spoils people's lives, and it upsets people's lifestyles as well. Now, it is, that's an important factor to consider, that when a person gets married, they are not just, it's not just a short-term relationship that you are thinking about, and you've made many changes in your life, you've incurred expenses, you've made great changes, not only the two that are getting married, but parents and other relatives as well have perhaps made changes in their life. And so we shouldn't just take it lightly, and the approach from the start off shouldn't be that I'll see if it works out.
Yeah, you know what, Wallan, I'm glad you're referring to this. I'll make this suggestion, right? I would suggest to them, okay, fine, you want to marry this person, but one condition, you'll need to go for premarital counseling. And I assure you, if they are not meant for each other, if the values are, antithetical to each other, because I give to people 100 questions you need to ask before you marry, right? And they can go to my blog, Idris Khamisa, EDRISKHAMISSA.com, and they can subscribe to my newsletter, or they could contact me. And what would happen, I assure you, if they go to a good counselor, and there are many, alhamdulillah, they go to a premarital counseling thing and they go through those questions, I promise you, then they would realize, you know what, I don't think we are for each other. I don't think. Because, funny enough, someone asked me a few days ago, a sister phoned me up. She says, I mean, she's like my daughter. I mean, I know the family. She says, well, she loves this person. She's crazy about this guy. But he's rude to her. He snaps her and, you know, all kinds of things. And when she suggested that let's go for premarital counseling, and premarital counseling does not mean you've got to counsel someone, but you are just going to help them to make the right decision. So he said, no, he just snapped at her. I said to her, now, if he doesn't want to go for premarital counseling, I said to her, tell him goodbye. Finish. Over. Really. And, you know, for me to be so emphatic regarding this, because I prefer they feel some pain and deprivation now than feeling it afterwards, and so many families are affected by it. You know what? So what I'm saying. So I think it's important. And, you know, Allah make it easy for the parents. You know, I'm not here to make a value judgment. You know, in parenting is the jihad of the 21st century. Allah make it easy for them. But what is critical, that they must, inshallah, find time, engage the children, inshallah, so that the children will be inspired by them and take it from them.
At least there's many messages coming through saying that what an interesting program, and as always they enjoy listening to it. There's one message at least that says that it's a very interesting topic that we're discussing, but they would like to know that at what age should you sort of bring this up with your children, because you find that maybe from grade 10, even from grade 9, maybe with the intermingling or speaking or communicating with girls. So at what age should you now sit down and have a sort of discussion or build this relationship with the child?
You see, the age is a chronological thing, but every kid is different. You know what? You should be vigilant. You observe your kids. You should get to know who they are. And therefore, you as a parent, you're the primary educator, you need to contact them accordingly. And what you need to do is this. Remember, what used to affect teens before is affecting preteens now because of the information. You'd be surprised that kids, even in the foundation phase, are becoming precocious in terms of sexual issues also. Like some of them are exposed to pornography, for example. So I think it's important that you speak of Tahara and Haya, you know, from Islam and all of that, inshallah. And you look at it. And if I were to give a blank age thing, I would recommend really that you speak aspects of it from the age of about 9 or 10 aspects. But your behavior between husband and wife would be really, for me, a clear thing in terms of what they need to understand. Because the big issue is this, that we are so concerned about teaching our kids sex education, we forget to teach them sexuality education, which is far more holistic, you know.
So it requires an entire lifetime of upbringing, and certain entire lifetime of molding and forming, and that is exactly the whole crux of parenting and good Islamic parenting. In this way, from the children's side of it, from the one who comes there and they find themselves in the situation, they find themselves in a relationship, how do they approach it to make it to get a better response out of their parents? Or is that what they actually want, or what they actually should be doing?
You know, in fact, I recall when I was saying goodbye to my first matric girls at Ahmadiyya School, Al Falah now, and I was so attached to them. And I said to the teachers, do you think we prepare them adequately for that world? So, and the lesson they enjoyed most, I think, was when I spoke to them, many of them were going to the university, I said to them how boys operate at the university. She says, am I talking from experience? I said, no, my friends told me. I said to them, for example, a boy would come there, he'd tell you, Assalamu alaikum, sister. He'd say to you, how are you, where you come from? The next day, little more, you know, spend time, you know, go on and on that way. And then I discussed a whole range of things. And then what happens over a period of time, you're lowering your guard, you give him your finger. He said, I only want to hold your hand, sister, you know, that kind of thing. And as a result, what happens? You become emotionally entangled, you fantasize and all of that, you know. So I said to them that if anyone makes an approach to you, you must tell them, hey, you know, for example, Idris, you like my brother, man, you're my brother. That chap will never come back to you. You know what I'm saying? So, and then because, you know what, really, the moment there is emotional entanglement, then khalas. Then you're going to be defiant, you're going to be rude to your parents, you think they are selfish. And then afterwards, when the matter is over, you're going to say, my daddy, mommy, you are so right. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's critical that we need to have conversations. That's why, you see, parenting is not about the mother alone. The father and mother need to have a discussion together and look at how they're going to rear the children.
It is by Jazakumullah Khairan for your time today. Inshallah, Aziz, you can go back to speaking to the ladies there in Roshni, and shukran for the interesting topic.
Jazakumullah, Allah bless. Mullah Daya also, Allah look after you both. And shukran, assalamu alaikum, and remember, hug your shishu babalina.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran to Brother Idris, shukran to you for listening, to our studio operator, Brother Tufail, and then Abdul Haq, and to Mulana Ibrahim Dayaf from Asiat al-Mashriq. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.